I'd like to begin message this morning with a story I heard some years ago, and I've always loved the story and what it represents. And it was the president of the Special Olympics who was given a talk to a large audience. And during the question and answer time that followed, someone asked him to describe the best moment for him as president of that year's Special Olympics. And without any hesitation, he told about the 100-meter run. Six developmentally handicapped kids lined up in a stadium full of 50,000 people. Kids had prepared for this event for the whole year. They wanted to win. And although they couldn't run well per se, they gave it their 100% all. Gun went off to the run. Begin the run, and about the 50-meter mark, one of the six runners fell down face first on the track. And the other five runners took a few more steps and then just kind of stopped. And they looked back, and they saw the fallen runner. Then, to the surprise of the crowd, they all went back and helped the fallen runner to his feet. They joined hands and then continued the race, all six of them crossing the finish line at the same time. Each one of them received a gold medal that day. You know, you think of that story, and that's our role as members of Jesus' church, helping others stay in the race. We're not in a competitive race. We serve and run together in unity. We help each other stay in the race. We encourage each other along. But running together in unity doesn't always come naturally. I think we all struggle in different ways with how we relate to and interact with others. But deep down in all of us, there's a need within all of us for community, for love, to be connected, to feel like we're a part of something. Listen to what Mother Teresa had written about the West so many years ago. She wrote, "People today are hungry for love, for understanding love, which is the only answer to loneliness and great poverty. That is why we are going to go to countries like England and America and Australia, where there is no hunger for bread. But there people are suffering from terrible loneliness, terrible despair, terrible hatred, feeling unwanted, feeling helpless, feeling hopeless. They have forgotten how to smile. They have forgotten what human love is. They need someone who will understand and respect them." See, the good news of Jesus Christ is that everyone matters to God. And Jesus calls individuals not to stay in isolation, but to join a community, to be a part of his family, God's people. And it's not just an institution we become a part of. It really, literally is the family of God. And knowing the resurrected Christ, back then, at the time that the story was written about in Acts chapter 4, it gave these people something to rally around. They formed a community, and that life offered them a different kind of life. It was a life that mattered. And one example is in how they began to see their attachment to their possessions. Things just were different because of what they had experienced and come to know. And again, particularly in this reading today from Acts chapter 4, you read that, this is amazing. But how they see their possessions. You know, if you've been around little children, I can guarantee you've seen this scene in action. Older child gets a toy, something he or she has wanted for a long, long time. That toy is played with until it's worn out, and then it's just sitting off in the corner, untouched for a long time, a long time. Along comes a little baby or younger brother or sister who walks over and picks up that toy, only to have it snatched out of their hands by the owner. That's my toy. My toy. So how many of us have looked at the older child and said, let her play with it? And then had that other child say, you know, of course you're right. I should have thought about that all along. Not going to happen. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. If we're the older child, we don't want to give it up. And compulsion makes us grab onto it with an even tighter grip. See, compulsion results in reluctance. It causes it to be done grudgingly. When you're compelled to do something, you're all the more reluctant to give it up. And you can't help it in your mind say, that's mine. It's mine. But you see, that attitude, though, can change. And it can change because of maybe something you've come to know, something you've begun to think about, maybe some experience you had, and all of a sudden it's just different. And that's kind of what we see happening in this story today. Because the effects of the resurrection of Jesus made a profound difference in the lives of Jesus' followers and these new converts. There was just this commitment, this desire to be a part of this community of people who've experienced the resurrection of Christ. And this desire to make that known in the world. And it just happened kind of organically. They just started forming this community. And for some, being connected with that community would literally mean their very survival. And they saw their need for one another. And they were close. They gathered together to grow in their faith. They looked out for one another. And the one thing was true, they became very generous. See, Easter invites us to a life of generosity. And generosity seems to be born in a united community. You know, just because of the people we may be around or people we come to know, it's just naturally to be generous. Jesus previously had called his disciples as followers and created a tight-knit fellowship with them. And he challenged them. He asked them to leave, in a sense, life as they knew it, to be a part of what he was doing. And for so many of them, life would never be the same. And Jesus also told them, you know what? If you're going to be a follower of mine, you're going to experience some different kinds of things happening in your life. There may even be some suffering. There may even be persecution. But yet, even in the midst of persecution that finally came, they received back forms of what they had lost. Maybe something happened within their own dynamic or their community, or their family, their work, or whatever. But now they had spiritual brothers and sisters, spiritual moms and dads. Their needs were provided through the homes of other people. And so for them, church wasn't an organization. Church wasn't some building, something that they joined and got their name on a list somewhere. That wasn't what it was. To them, it was being together with other Christ followers. And having an impact on the lives of each other, and looking out for one another, and working together to make that message known. To them, they would say, those are my people. This is, in a sense, my family. You know, we all have a biological family. I know that even when my biological family was still very intact and we were close, that I left up in Washington when I first came here as a pastor. When I came to Trinity, we were separated. But Trinity became my family in a very deep and profound way. And you know that someone is being a part of that is when the pronouns change. It's my church. This is my church home. This is my church family as opposed to yours. We see that as it's played out here in this passage in Acts 4 again. It says, talking about their hearts and their souls, it says they were one. They had all things in common. There were no needy persons among them. Why? Because they needed to look out for one another, again, for their very survival, because so many things maybe have been taken from them. And the sharing of goods represented a response to Jesus' teaching about sharing and caring and what they had come to know. Things had changed in their lives. But what made the most profound difference was the resurrection. Now, lest we think, wow, those were some amazing people, things weren't perfect. And all you need to do is start reading the stories surrounding what was going on there in the book of Acts, and you come to realize there was selfishness there. There was lack of concern for people who were different from them. And again, it wasn't a perfect scenario or situation. But God continued to work, changing hearts, changing lives, working in them, directing them in the right ways. God was at work. But it also tells us that our focus should be on, to begin with, the generosity of God. Because generosity flows from a heart that's been touched by a generous God. And then we see various examples. So one lady, her name was Tabitha. And it says she was full of good works. And her whole entire place where she lived was filled with clothes that she had made to provide for people in need who had no clothes. And then the city of Antioch, they were references this place for all of the relief they gave to the victims of a severe famine that had broken out. And it says here in this passage that people, even who had extra land, were willing to part with it. And it says they brought that those proceeds and laid it at the apostles' feet. So as they saw needs come up in other people's lives, they were just willing to share with one another. Again, they were all looking out for each other. Different needs, different ways of meeting those needs. But something was different about them. Because when these people were doing things, it was done differently when compared to what was normative for the Greco-Roman world at the time. This kind of behavior did not exist in that culture. But then there was those passages, like even John wrote in his letter, we love because he first loved us. What they had experienced, what they came to know. Time went on, and history tells what came from those followers of Jesus. Book I have, like 400 pages, it's called How Christianity Changed the World. And it's interesting, the impact, because of what they became known for in the earliest days, the support for widows, how they helped the physically disabled, how they tended to orphans, how they tended to those who were sick, the people who were in prison for their faith, the way they reached out to them. They helped pay for burials for people who were poor. They provided funds to release people from slavery. It was unbelievable the work that people were doing as followers of Jesus. And the one sociologist who wrote that book I referenced said that compassion was a Christian innovation because this kind of behavior was not known in the world at that time, with that done with that kind of attitude or motive. Generosity is a beautiful thing. I see generosity all the time here at Trinity. And I think of, all right, for a church our size, it's amazing continually how many things that we support through our benevolence. For years, we've supported the Orange County Rescue Mission and their local work here to provide for people in all kinds of needs here in our county. Obviously, the ongoing work we do with Caring Hands up at First Lutheran in Fullerton, We've been supporting the Gerhardt family for probably at least 20 years. They were in South Africa, now they're in Zimbabwe, training future leaders for the church there in that part of Africa. The ongoing work of Gideon's International and providing scriptures to people around the world. All the money that we provide to provide scholarships for students to go to Orange Lutheran, our own school. You know, all you have to do is just walk around this church, even look around here today in the sanctuary. Every single thing you see on this property was lovingly and given out of generosity. Some special things. It was a special gift, a special donation that made certain things possible. 4 or 5 years in a row we went down. We built homes in Tijuana. People made those gifts possible. I look back, it was like almost 30 years of doing short-term trips. I think of how many thousands and thousands of dollars were provided to enable high school students to go and serve in different places around the country and get a heart for service, life-changing trips. I have remembrances of groups of people that met here, and they put together blankets that were given to a bunch of kids in an orphanage. And then when the war broke out, how many ladies gathered one time and they made neck coolers for soldiers to wear that were in Afghanistan and Iraq. Different kinds of things happening, just generosity, just kind of welling up to provide for people. Nothing done out of compulsion. It just, how can we help? It's interesting, Paul says, let us do good, especially to the household of believers. It's, again, it begins when we just look out for one another, too. And it comes in a united community. Because when you're in a united community, those are the kind of people that your heart kind of connects with. Because you've had your heart touched by a generous God. So here's obviously the concern for today. Technology allows us to not be together. There's a lot of great things in that sometimes it's something that's needed, but also it has caused us to be able to not be together. So you can distance yourself and just settle for a podcast or a live stream. And I mean settle meaning because you could, but you just choose not to be a part of it. And that's when the my disappears. And it's their thing, or, you know, your thing, or whatever. But something happens where we're in the middle of it where the action is. Well, it's a life that matters. Do we learn what a life is that matters by just kind of seeing how many reality shows we can take in on TV and say, well, that's what life is that matters. Look at that. Or do we see and find out what a life that matters is all about when we watch a Savior stop running and pick us up with his scarred hands and say to us, let's do this together. See, a life that matters starts with seeing Jesus in action and what he so generously did for us. And then invites us to live a life that matters together with Jesus and other people in our community for the benefit of others. It's a beautiful life that really truly matters, that has a goal, that has a destination, that says, this is what it's all about. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in a sense, invites us into this kind of life with other people that we can do this journey with, holding hands side by side, not competing, but just encouraging one another along so that together we can finish this race. The resurrection of Jesus Christ offers us a life that matters. It's a beautiful thing. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.